CPS. Go. Inco. Go. PUS. Go. Surgeon. Go. Booster. Go. Copy that. We have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Talking Sound Podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host. This is a very special episode, y'all. It's not actually a live episode where I'm interviewing an artist or an engineer as usual. It's actually a panel that I got to take place in at Comicpalooza in Houston this last year for starting a network, for starting a podcast network. The HC Universal Network, and I was asked to come be on a podcast panel with my wife, who also owns the network, as well as a couple network owners out of Houston, and Ming Chin from the Comic Book Men show on A&E, as well as the I Sell Comics podcast and his network. So I thought this was a very apropos session for people to sit in on, to give a listen to. It's got some great information on marketing, do's and don'ts, things about branding, all that kind of stuff that if you are a musician, if you are someone thinking about going into business, period, it's something good to know. Even if you're talking about yourself as an engineer, how do you brand yourself? How do you market yourself? So these are some great grassroots ideas, some great grassroots concepts from people that have grown networks from a grassroots start to where it is now. So hold on, hang tight, and enjoy this episode of the Talking Sound Podcast.
Excited about this panel because when I found out that we were going to be doing it, I was really excited to learn from everybody. And I thought that it would be a great opportunity for us to discuss, even, you know, in our small ranks here, just like how we get it done and like what it requires to do podcast networking. I personally, from my point of view of like just sort of grassroots starting out, would, you know, have specific ideas about like what to do when you're just like winging it on your own. But I'd love to know more about what, you know, Ming and the other gentlemen are doing in their podcast networks, because they have so much more going on and they've gotten a little bit more connective with, you know, sponsors and that kind of stuff. And also like, how do you build more of an audience? I'd love to hear those kinds of things from everybody. And I feel like since we're all here together in a tiny room together to hug and be friends, then we can all just be like, what do you want to learn? And then we'll all try to help each other.
Yeah. That's fair.
So as the impromptu host, please tell me stuff about what you've learned.
I think the big thing is cross-promotion on all shows.
Yeah. Who are you and what network do you belong to? Yeah,
so Nathan and I are Forge Audio.
Jared, and I'm Nathan. Just for all the people out here, so you know.
For everyone in no vision land.
The people that we can't see.
The people listening on the other side of this glass wall. We know you're there. I can see you.
Just come in.
So we're based here in Houston, and we have three shows currently on our network, and the other six are made up of other people. So two of the shows we know just from, like, interacting with other podcasts, so we brought them on, and then the others, I just constantly listen to independent shows, and if they have good content, good audio quality, good chemistry, I invite them, and some want to join, some don't.
Is the Houston podcast community as strong as it seems from this and at this convention?
Yeah, I think it is, really, in all honesty.
Great,
I mean, Houston is always pretty amped to help promote each other.
That's really cool. I mean, I think this con in particular has always supported podcasters in a way that I've been to like 100 cons in a way that almost most other cons don't. Like they don't get it yet.
But, right.
But,
well, I mean, aside from the podcast specific conventions.
Yeah,
like,
which
PodCon was amazing. It's such an amazing atmosphere, and I'm so disappointed that they're not going to have it anymore.
Oh, did they not? I guess they didn't make money.
Well, I think that it was just being able to be sustainable because, if you're not aware of PodCon, it was created by the McElroys, excluding
Greens.
Griffin. Hank Green.
Yeah. John Green.
Well, was John connected with it? I think it was just Hank.
Well, John was there. I know Hank was specific. And I know Joseph Fink, Jeffrey Craner.
Yeah.
We're involved from Welcome to Night Vale.
Yeah, and Travis McElroy and Justin McElroy. But I mean, PodCon 2 years ago and this past one, it was just so amazing to be able to go and see the creators that.
Yeah, where was it?
It was in Seattle.
Seattle.
Oh, man. Yeah. Sounds awesome.
It was an amazing show. Because, I mean, you would see like Aaron Mankey or Roman Mars just roaming the halls. And it
Paul
was,
Bay.
Yeah, Paul Bay. You know, we're best friends now.
Yeah, we're best friends with Paul Bay.
In the interest of like learning from when things don't go well, they posted a really awesome like explanation of why they weren't going to do it anymore. And I didn't even know about the podcast like event until I read the "Sorry, we're not going to do it anymore" thing. And it was very informative. Just they were super open about like, you know, when you're doing this, you know, you have to spend money on X, Y, and Z. And it was just very smart as far as like informing both the public and other podcasters. Like, these are things that we had trouble with. Be careful when you're doing yours. And I was like, that's great. Right. Like, how helpful of them to have given that to us, even though they're essentially saying we are unable to do this event. Here is some educational material for you so that you don't make the same mistakes we do, or that you can learn from what we had to go through.
Right.
Fascinating.
Ming, what was it that that had you start your own network?
So I've got a couple unique situations. So I became part of Kevin Smith's Modcast Network.
Yeah.
Basically,
what
because
is that?
What is that? Kevin Smith, filmmaker, Clerks Moritz,
You may not have heard of him.
Podcast pioneer, started podcasting in 2007, and to me, he's one of the top three.
He's amazing. I love him.
By far. But after he'd been going for about 2 years with Smodcast, this show, he's like, I need shows that aren't just me. Me and Mike Zapsik, my usual podcast host, got thrown into it because he needed content, and so he went to his friends and employees first to create content. But I was very hesitant at first because I'd never podcasted before. I was a guy who would upload his podcast and get it out to the world. And so coming from him, a guy who was famous already, who was probably one of the best storytellers alive today, a guy who could do stand-up comedy if he really wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
And a guy who wanted to talk at length with no rules, so this was the perfect medium for him. And I was like, why do you want me to do this? You're famous already. You're a great storyteller. You have a huge built-in audience. Of course people want to listen to you. Why do you want me to start a show? And it was like, I need shows that aren't just me. And you can, it's not that hard. And I'm like, I'm not Kevin Smith. I can't podcast. I didn't go to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. He's like, no, you don't get it. He's like, you know what? What do you love? I'm like, I like Star Wars, comics, and food. It's like, that's a podcast. I'm like, really?
Yeah, and people will eat it up too.
Yeah, he's like, what? I'm like, really?
Like that, it's food.
Yeah, he's like, that counts? And he's like, listen, comics, Star Wars, and food, you love that, right? He's like, could you talk about Star Wars, comics, and food for like 45 minutes without preparing, without even thinking about it? I'm like, yeah. Where do you want to start? Like Cloud City, Bespin? You know, which episode do you want to start? He's like, whoa, save it for the podcast.
He's
like, that's the big one. Save it for the podcast.
He's like, you're talking about your passions. You're talking about what you love. You're getting that out to a worldwide audience. That's why it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And so I grabbed Mike Zapsik, and we podcast about comics, Star Wars, and food. And he only wanted an hour. We went for two because we lost track of time. We were having so much fun. And that was back in like 2010. So we're almost at 300 episodes. So I became a part of his network. Yeah, I didn't even really want to do it. And he was kind of like, if you don't do it, he didn't say I would be fired, but he somewhat implied it.
You may not make as much money.
Yeah. So that's how I got on that. And then the other unique situation, a year and a half ago, we opened up a podcast studio. It's a recording studio. Specifically for podcasting, and that pretty much happened because I was like, this is so much fun. Like, if we teach other people, can we teach other people how much fun this is? Like, is that a teachable thing? I'm like, I think we could do this. So we opened up a studio, we got it out there, and people started booking it. So we kind of made the decision that, you know, anything that gets recorded in the studio, we'll upload it and put it up on our network.
Do you guys offer services for like recording and editing and stuff
Recording, editing, we hold classes. We do advanced techniques for the for people podcasting already.
Do your advanced technique classes have microphones?
We have microphones.
That's nice.
That's
nice.
A guarantee.
I like to hear.
We've been offering Facebook Live in there, and
great.
Yeah, and you know they're just little perks. You know, we got TVs all over, so your research guy can pull up stuff as you're talking about.
Yeah.
It. You know, little perks like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been going pretty well, but you know, we created that network just to have a place to have. Where everybody's show could get up there, be on iTunes immediately after they record it, and you know, it's a pretty eclectic mix, though. It's not, you know, it's not focused per se. We have everyone from real estate lawyers to the four guys who party every weekend and come back and talk about their misadventures.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it, though. That was one of the things that we just got done talking about in our podcast boot camp just before this was. Finding your niche.
Yeah.
Really, like you said, I made the example earlier. If you like gardening with cats, guarantee you there's people out there that garden with cats too.
Yeah.
You know, if you like eating ramen noodles and talking Star Wars, guarantee you fill this room. I'm sorry, did I just describe every Thursday night for you?
I mean, like every weeknight, basically.
And, you know, that's just it. It's about what you love. Yeah. It's about something that you can talk about naturally. And like these guys were saying earlier, to find content, you just find what you like.
Yeah.
If you like it, other people will like it.
Right.
You know? And that's kind of what we did. Like, I had two shows. My wife had a show. My buddy Billy had a show. A guy I used to do broadcast with had a couple shows. I was like, dude. A whole bunch of mules pulling the same cart that way is going to get there a whole lot faster than all of us stabbing in the dark.
I think the main thing, though, is that a lot of people, whenever they start a network, they just pull in their friends. And they all do, like, all of our friends have these shows. So
sure.
You know what? I love my friends. I'm friends with them for a reason. But if they have a terrible show, I don't want them on my
network. No.
Absolutely.
But I think that it definitely has to be something that you grow together. You have to find the right content, something you can't just have like one of everything. Like, I mean, yes, there is somebody to listen to everything. You are correct. But you have to have like a niche within the niche. You know, your content has to be linked in some way. You can't just have like a bunch of random stuff and hope that people, you know, connect with your network. Because they just like all this random stuff. You want them to go from one show to the other, to the other, to the other. And cross-promotion between those shows is very important as well.
Yeah, and that's just it, was finding people, number one, who promoted as much as I gave the example earlier of 3-to-1 ratio. Mm-hmm. You spend an hour in the studio, you need to spend 3 hours promoting every week.
I'm stealing that one too, man. I love that. That's great.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I spent years working with rock and roll musicians, and that was the first thing that I, like, whenever a band was like, we would like you to be our sound guy, it was like, okay, you're hiring me as a part of the band. And if you sucked, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Because that's my job. Like, I had to tell somebody not too long ago, like, okay, I'm putting my friend hat aside now, and I have to put on my producer hat. And here's the plain truth. Like, you started your show in a vein, and then totally went a different direction with your show. And you didn't tell the people who were, like, promoting your show.
Right.
Like, you started a show about psychology, and now it's not about psychology.
And now it's about Legos.
You know? Like, it suddenly went into politics and, you know, talking about other things. And it was like, what? Where'd it go? You lost your focus, and now you've lost the audience.
Right.
You know, and it's hard to wear that producer hat. It's great to bring your friends in, but like you said, at some point you're going to have the uncomfortable conversation of producer to content.
Yeah. And trust me, all my friends know my producer hat.
Yeah.
They all know it very well.
May I ask a question to each of the other networks, and we'll answer it as well, but when you are offering, and you can share or not share as much as you'd like, but when you are like have a new podcast coming in, what are you essentially offering them? Like when you say, do you want to be part of my network? What are you saying that you have for them that they don't already have?
So I think every network is different.
Totally.
Every network has something specific that they can offer. We offer specifically cross promotion at this point. We're all just a bunch of independent shows. We tell them specifically, we are not a network that's going to take your content and claim it. you keep your show. Your show is still yours. You run it how you want to. But these are a couple things that we will expect from each show. We are just now getting into the advertising space and being able to sell some ad spots. And how we do it specifically is not show by show. We do the entire network.
Yeah, we sell the whole thing as a collective.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we are a group.
Yeah, he's exactly.
Our marketing like, sales
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And I think that it works to entice advertisers a little bit more the way that we have it set up for our network. It's completely different for somebody like Max Fun to go out because they have so many great shows and so many personalities.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with a lot of the other shows, Earwolf and The Nerdist and stuff like that, some of the bigger networks. But
it's different when you're grassroots. You do have to expect much more that organic growth, starting much more with the local growth. Like one of the things we talk about in our panel is finding local sponsors, like Dudes and Beer having a local beer sponsor. And what we did was trade time. We would talk about their beer, what we were drinking at the beginning of the show, how much we liked it. Then about 3-4 times a year, we would go out and do a live on location and bring our audience there on a Tuesday night. And they'd have like 60, 70 people there that never went to Hops and Grain.
Right.
You and know, that kind of stuff.
Ours is a little different only because I do like the idea of using local shops to be able to promote. Because like we said, like we are in Houston. A lot of our shows are in Houston. Most of them because we have them.
Because we do three of the shows.
Because we do three of the shows.
Right around 33% of our shows are in Houston.
Yes.
Oddly enough.
But the problem with doing local shops from either Houston or from LA or from New York. In Australia, we have a show in Australia that is very similar to ours, but they're extremely funny. We decided to
they do more reviews and things like that, and they do more like advice, like whereas we're not really an advice podcast. Like we do a little bit at the end where we answer questions from Twitter. But that's about it, and we usually answer them poorly. Like we give bad advice.
We give bad advice.
Like whereas they actually give advice in a funny way. So it's that really separates them from us, aside from the fact that we're all dads. Yeah.
But it makes it a little hard for us to do local shops just because not all of our audience is going to be in Houston.
Sure.
Not all of our audience is going to be in the United States. I mean, that's for every podcast.
Well,
I mean, we try to branch out as much as we can.
Well, it's also the fact of, hey, you've got a local brand that you're trying to grow to another spot, you know.
Yeah.
Come to the website. Come order, you know. It is an easy way to to provide an affordable way for internet advertising for local companies, for people to go to their website, purchase things, that kind of stuff.
I offer encouragement and promotion. I think, you know, the promotion's a big part. At one facet, I've been blessed with a pretty decent social media following thanks to a TV show that I landed ass backwards into called Comic Book Man.
Yeah.
But you know what? I use that to my advantage. And I was like, listen, I got a pretty good social media following. I'm going to use this to help you promote your podcast. And I think that's one thing I can offer that fewer people can.
Yeah.
I like being, you know, we're all kind of alone out there. It's nice to be part of a team, part of a network. And I encourage people to say, you know what, we have all these other shows that, you know, you can cross promote guests. You can, I'm a comic book fan, so I love seeing the crossover.
Yeah, exactly.
So nothing makes me happier than seeing one show featuring a guest from one of the other shows from our network.
Yeah.
And I just think, it's cool when we all kind of work together like the Avengers.
Yeah. And that's how I look at it too, is the fact that we're all working together. We're all working together to share each other's stuff on social media.
Yeah.
To get the word out about each other's shows, even to guest swap.
Yeah.
You know, like you were saying.
Yeah. And, if I see, maybe a unique opportunity for one of these shows that I can help them out with, I definitely will. For example, one of the shows on our network heard about the massive podcast friendliness down here, So I got them down here. They got they were able to promote. They had a live. They did a live version of their podcast this weekend.
Yeah.
And their subject. They run a shorts film festival in New Jersey, and they bring a filmmaker on every week up until the festival, and then they kind of start it over again up until the next festival. And there is a shorts film festival here at Comicpalooza. Yeah. So they had a filmmaking and how to get your film in the film festival panel. You know, brought to you by the Hanging On To Your Shorts podcast. So
yeah, nice.
I was like, dude, Houston, man. And, you know, and I was like, dude, drop my name. You know, if it helped you get in, great. And it seemed to have worked. So they just left, but they were glowing. You know, they had a great time. So.
Good. And, you know, that's just it. That's what I think shows like this are about.
Yeah.
I know whenever I interviewed you last year for Talking Sound, that was one of the things that we talked about was that there's such a sense of community to begin with.
Yeah.
At shows like this. Like you said, we feel like Avengers helping each other out.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still, you know,
even today for our panel to bring in like Richard Adams from Breach TV to be like, here's a distributor. Here's somebody that distributes your content for you, you know, like telling you what they're expecting from their end, you know, like how to help build good content.
Yeah.
What are their viewers looking for? Are they looking for more 15-minute episodes or more hour and a half long episodes? You know, there are so many different things. Myself having years in broadcast, even technical end, there's so much that we can share from so many different aspects.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's like, hey, you ever used this mic before? What do you think of this recorder? I want to do it remotely. What kind of gear would you recommend?
Yeah, exactly.
Little things like that. It's great to share information like that. Especially, it's a medium, still very much is in its infancy. And, the more we can support each other, the better we're all going to do.
Well, and I think for me, it's very much the last word in it. Network. The idea behind networking is getting together, talking, chewing the fat. Like, my God, man, how's the market treating you right now? you know, like, have you seen a dip in your numbers the way I have been? Like, it's weird because I'm normally on the other end of this table. I'm normally, like, back there running the soundboard at these events.
Yeah, right. It feels weird,
and,
right?
you know, like, for me to be up here and be talking about it, it's like what I see all the time whenever I hear panels from, like, Google and stuff like that. Like, they worry about the exact same thing that we do. Like, how are we reaching our market? I sat in a panel not too long ago. It was a closed panel of oil executives talking about how are we going to handle plastic bags, y'all? like, literally, they were talking about it. Wow, like, the same thing as us. Like, how do we handle getting episodes out to people?
I was actually going to ask, on the heels of that idea, what is everybody doing to broaden their audience? You know, Ming mentioned that you have the benefit of a nice social media following, and that's great. Social media has hit or miss. You know, like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And Ming, we'll start with you. What was the thing that you do to like get more people to listen?
I mean, I definitely use social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever I can do. If I release a new episode, I'm posting daily that I have a new episode up until I record the next episode. With the algorithms, you don't know who's seeing it the first time. So even though you post it once, doesn't mean that everybody saw it. And you don't know which platforms people are following. So I post them on all of them. So and it's free. There's no reason you shouldn't be marketing digitally. And I love your analogy. For every hour you record, you got to spend three marketing. Yeah. And that's completely true. Yeah, it's another job. You put an episode out there. People aren't necessarily gonna listen to it. Yeah. I try to write great descriptions. I think descriptions are important as well as far as should I listen to this? Oh, yeah, they talk about Game of Thrones or whatever. Yeah, they know what they're getting into, so that's good. But in the real world, like this Comicpalooza, we got 50,000 people down there. I'll hand out cards. I'll tell people in the real world if I'm at a party, a networking event, at the street. In the comic book shop that we're at, I was like, hey, I have a podcast.
Yep.
It's called I Sell Comics. You're in a comic book shop. You should listen to this. Yeah, I'm trying to do a thing where you know, the I Sell Comics pick of the week in the bins at the comic book shop. Walt Flanagan, the manager, is not really having any of that because he runs his own podcast, and it's, you know, we don't exactly compete, but they're not really friendly toward us. That's a whole nother story. But yeah, I mean, you know, getting, you know, 1,000 4x6 cards from Vistaprint is like what, $30 or something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So
spend spread that. To whip a friend's butt
all these.
Yeah,
I think every single one of these was made with Vistaprint.
Yeah, you got that. You know, if you have a lot of coffee shops, small business, what let you tack that up there. You don't know who's going to see that, and a lot of people are listening to podcasts, so I do that as well. And then thirdly, I guessed any podcast that wants to talk to me, I definitely try to. You know, if I have to Skype in, I'll carve out an hour that week. I prefer doing it in person, which is why this is awesome.
Yeah.
But if I'm at a con, and I see a podcast table, I'm definitely sitting down with them, like, no doubt.
You were the most approachable guy in the world last year. Whenever I came by your booth, I was like, I'd love to interview you. Like, when? Right now?
Yeah. And even
cool.
You know,
let's go. Like, it
was like, okay, you got your gear.
Like, and he was like, whoa, you actually have microphones with you. It's not just on your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if I go to a con and I'm a guest and I have a booth, like, I'll put out on social media. It's like, if you're a podcaster and you want, if I can help you out with 5 minutes and absolutely bring gear and let's talk. Cause getting content, great content is hard. I'm there for you. I'm a fellow podcaster. I know what it's like. And, I've come to your town, so let's go. Let's record.
Yeah, exactly. And this episode is being recorded, by the way.
Yeah.
It is being recorded back there. So.
Yeah.
But if any of y'all want a copy, feel free.
Yeah, but, you know, guesting on other shows is obvious. You're crossing the audience.
And that's something, quite honestly, that I've tried to make a point on my network is for the hosts on the network to guest on each other's shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that the audience
cross promotion stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, sure. I try to make it something where it's at least regular, where I have somebody at least once or twice a year try to cross promote like that. I'll have someone like Scary Dad on to talk about like horror movies or something like that. You know.
Nice. So one thing that I do want to say about the social media and promoting your shows and stuff is you have to have like an 80-20 balance. It has to be 80% fun and 20% business. If it's all business, nobody's going to pay attention.
Yep.
If you're just trying to sell them on stuff, they're not going to watch. Yeah. They're not going to listen. They're not going to interact with you at all. If you make it fun for them, then they're going to pay attention.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we do on Facebook, especially for Hi Hungry, I'm Dad, is we'll put out, you know, like a question. You know, it's something. It could be really anything, and then it's something that we bring to the show. We'll talk about the Facebook question of the week on the show, or you know,
and then read their comments.
Yeah, and we read their comments because people want to hear that. Yeah, if you hear your name being, you know, and your comment being read on a show, you're going to listen, and you're going to tell people to listen.
Exactly.
And that's one thing that we've really implemented over the past, I don't know, 3-4 months.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's been a big help. Like, we've seen our numbers jump just for Hi Hungry,
right?
But through cross promotion. Just through our network, some of our shows have doubled their numbers.
More than doubled. We had one show jump from like 900 to over 2,000.
Yeah.
In just the month that they were with us.
Yeah.
And that was just due to cross-promotion from other shows.
Yeah, exactly. People sharing their posts like, hey, look, our new friends just released an episode.
Right, exactly.
And not only that, one of the big things I see all the time as far as social media is people asking the question whether or not they need a page or a group. And my answer is yes.
Yeah, definitely. And a website.
Mainly because,
you need a website.
I use my group to engage my audience. That's where I put, like, Dudes and Beer is very topical. We talk about a lot of things going on in the news. So I post news articles like barrages during the day.
Yeah.
And it pokes people and it makes conversation. And I can see what people are thinking about.
Because even though it's news, it is still entertainment. News is entertainment.
The page is only disseminated from the website. Anything that posts to the website, like tonight there will be a post, hey, Tuesday night, check this out. That goes to the page. I share that to the group. You get totally different metrics from a page because it's meant for a business.
Right.
So, like, you get crazy metrics as far as the involvement for your posts whenever you take that post from a page and share it to a group, share it to a group of similar interests, share it to a podcast group. It's like... you get awesome metrics that way. So, like you were saying, kind of disseminating what you're doing. Don't crowd your group with a bunch of posts just about business.
People you know when you're trying to sell to them.
Yeah, that's what your page is for. Make your post on your page like once a week for a promo, something like that. Mm-hmm. Then you actively get to show your sponsor like, hey, look, these were engagements that we had. You can show them all those metric screenshots and stuff
impressions,
like that,
all that.
That you
stuff.
Can't
yeah.
show them from something shared from a group or a personal account.
Exactly.
So I wanted to have another question because I feel like we're talking about building the audience and the building would be nice if at the end of the day there was money, right? So I'd love to talk at the end of the day, and by the end of the day, I mean after multiple years and a lot of episodes and hard work for everyone who's listening and in the audience. Tell me what you guys are doing, like how are you trying to move towards or currently receiving monetization options for yourself and your podcast and other podcasts in your network?
Patreon's
I know we're newer to it, so we're, you know, looking to learn, and also, like, I'm sure the audience would love to hear.
Patreon is a big one. I know that they keep changing some stuff on their end from time to time, so it does make it a little bit difficult. But, I mean, if you're putting out bonus content and people are constantly going to Patreon and subscribing to your extra stuff, that's an easy way to make money off of it. Successful ones are like Girl in Space.
Girl in Space.
They are
Goosebuds.
Completely independent audio drama and they are amazing. Like the Bright Sessions. The Bright Sessions started out and now they just signed on with their exclusive for Luminary not that long ago. So, I mean, making money is definitely something, especially for audio dramas. There's a lot of money that goes into making an audio drama.
Yeah.
We are actually writing two as of right now. So that's something that we have to figure out in how to make the money before the show comes out so we have the money to put into production.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think that just making good content and being able to make a network that is full of great creators goes a long way for presenting to advertisers, especially if you're starting out where nobody knows your name.
Indeed.
What do you think of that? Getting ads is tough with so many people out there. Ultimately, they're looking at numbers, and if you don't have Serial or This American Life numbers, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went within the family. I went to the people who would make it hard to say no. I went to my friends with successful businesses first and foremost. So when we opened the studio, I was like, hey, let's get the studio sponsored. Let's see if we can not only get a little bit of money back, but promote their businesses as well, so everybody wins. I hit up a bunch of my friends with successful businesses. You're going to get a lot of no's. Most of them were like, hey, we're not really at that point right now. But we got some yeses, too. So the guys who worked sound on Comic Book Man got inspired by working on sitting in a comic book shop shooting our show. They decided they want to start a comic book publishing company.
Nice.
It's called Blue Juice Comics. Blue Juice in reference to Star Wars. And I was like, dude, awesome. It's blue milk, isn't it? So they're like, well, it's too late.
We too late now.
I'm like, all right. So, and
I love that you mentioned that, though, because at the end of Comic Book Man, whenever you guys are just sitting around the table and just talking and doing essentially the podcast, it's so good. And I love that little moment. It's the end of the show, and it really just breaks down what's happening within the show.
Well, it's a great piece of marketing too, because it takes you straight from the show into the podcast.
Yeah. It was done really well.
That was all Kevin. If you watch most unscripted shows,
went to broadcast.
They, they'll like Pawn Stars. Someone will bring in like a musket or something, and then they'll cut to the one shot of the guy in the parking lot going, "Hey, I brought in a musket. I hope they give me like $1 million for it." And Kevin was like, that's boring, man. Who wants to? I don't care about this guy in the parking lot. Let's explain things in between around a podcast table. This is what I do. This is what we do. I think that'll be way more interesting. So, if you watch those, it's the first show to ever, I think, to, I'm pretty sure, the first show to ever focus podcasting in anything.
I think so.
Yeah.
And, And I think there are actually a couple of shows since that stolen that. So
probably so. Yeah. Well, there was that one show with Zach Braff who started his own podcast, right?
Yeah, but they started a comic publishing company. We gave them some advice as to what to do. Actually, as they were publishing their first book, we had them on weekly talking about the process, and that went out. And other independent publishers were able to listen to that to learn from it. But once, they started making some money, and I was like, hey, we're starting the studio. Would you want to sponsor? And, so they threw us a little bit of money per
month.
Pay
it back and pay it forward.
Yeah. There was a local brewery that was opening up, and I was like, hey, listen, you could pay $500 for a little newspaper ad that no one's going to see, or you could support our studio. And I outlined what I was going to give them. It was a pretty long list, social media posts. I'll wear your logo to Comic-Cons, like in front of Emilia Clarke or whoever. Things like that.
Yeah, we'll wear your shirts when we're out.
And, in the studio, we're going to have their beer, and people are going to talk about it as they're drinking and podcasting. The other perk was like, and you guys, they wanted to start a podcast. I'm like, you know what, you guys come in whenever you want. The studio is yours if you sponsor us. So, same thing. Got a little bit of money from that as well.
Yeah.
And Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee, if you haven't heard of it. We met them at Comic-Cons. They used to hand out coffee to all the con-goers. They started a podcast, an official related podcast called Fueled by Deathcast. And, same thing. Since they were podcasting, it was very easy to relate to them. I was like, hey, we're starting a studio. Can you send down coffee? People are going to drink the coffee and get all caffeined up and talk.
Yeah.
And they'll talk about the coffee. But can you also send us a couple dollars as well? And, that's worked out great as well. I mean, I reached out to businesses that I think related to the stuff we were doing, and ones that I liked as well. And coffee, beer, and comics. That pretty much describes my life right there. So,
yeah.
So that's worked out, reaching to people I've met, through networking or just flat out friends with successful businesses. I mean, we've done the Casper ads and the Blue Apron, which was fun. I got free Blue Apron for a week, which was pretty good. But yeah, in the end, I don't know these guys, and
tough. that's one of the big things that I ask people as they've come onto our network is what kind of sponsors are you looking for?
Right.
Like one of the people I'm courting right now is Babalu Cigars.
Yeah.
They're great cigars. I love cigars. I can't necessarily do that on like therapy hour with Rusty Lozano. He's not going to be throwing cigar ads out like Dudes and Beer will.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So it is one of those, like you guys were saying earlier, selling the network as a whole. There's that concept. There's the concept of going local, like you were saying, and saying, hey, local business, you want to bring your concept to a larger audience. You want to get what's going to be immediately more. And I mean, just from someone who worked in broadcast and saw like web ad space being sold, just how much a web ad goes for, much less a radio ad. Give a radio station a call and ask them how much it'll be for a 30-second spot.
It's ridiculous.
You produce it.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you send them your spot, cut to 29.97 seconds like they want.
Yeah.
How much is that spot? And then gauge your audience from that. It's going to be a few thousand dollars. You probably aren't at the point of a few thousand dollars yet, but there's nothing wrong with asking a couple $100.
Yeah.
Hey, I was just thinking, there's, because you mentioned the radio and the radio things, other ways to get your name out there is, say there's a local radio station in town that like does, is like listener per, like the money, you can donate, like $5 a month, and then they say your name out. So it can be all like, this hour is sponsored by Yes But Why Podcast, just because I pay like a monthly thing to sponsor them, and then they say it out loud.
Yeah.
There's an improv theater in Austin that does it. Every time I hear it, I'm like, oh God, that's such a great thing to do.
There's that. Also fairly affordable that we've looked into recently is bus ads.
Oh yeah.
Like inside of buses. that kind of stuff. Actually, extraordinarily affordable. And it's the ads that are like this big.
Yeah.
Well, up on the top of the bus.
And what are people doing sitting on public transit?
Absolutely nothing.
Listening to podcasts. Exactly what they're doing. That's brilliant.
Exactly. Things like that, being able to go out. Because, I mean, you can pay for Facebook ads all day. It's going to be like paying for Google. Good luck actually keeping up with the metric. You know, all that kind of stuff. It's much better to go organic, grassroots, kind of thing.
Our Facebook has been hit and miss for the ads that we've done.
Yeah, exactly.
It really depends on the content that you're putting out there. Well, so those have to be really focused. You have to put your audience in and be extremely focused.
Like whenever we went out with Dudes and Beer and did like the Mika Motto auction for a 5-6 hour long day, I would pay for those ads, and those always got great result because, it's a focused audience. People that are looking for classic car, Mika Motto Auction Houston, that's a narrowed scope. Immediately, my ad's going to pop up on Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? It's going to pop up immediately. So that kind of stuff works to an extent, but for a general swath of advertising and letting people know you exist, not necessarily. Maybe even looking at places like your local Alamo Draft House. You know, take out an ad there. Things like that that are not, I mean, good God, man. People ask people to the prom all the time with an ad at the movie that they're going to see. It can't be that expensive.
What are the bus ads running at ballpark?
You know, in Austin, surprisingly enough, even for like South by Southwest, it was into the couple hundred, few hundred dollar range. It's
not
absolutely reasonable. It was to the point of like $1,000 a month for, or something like that, for a few ads up on, and you have to use their printers, you know, all that kind
of
stuff.
Like the side of the bus.
Yeah, you can get like a whole side of the bus. Your face would look great on the side of a bus, Ming.
Yeah, I wish you guys had said this, you know, before the con.
I get money from the city bus system, folks.
What were you saying?
I said, I wish you guys had said this, like, you know, a couple weeks ago, and we could have done this for ads for this con.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people here.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, everybody, almost everybody here listens to some sort of podcast or listens, you know, something. And if we just had, like, an ad on, like, you know, the pedal cars and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they do ads on the back of those.
Contact them. Like, I know a pedal car company in Austin.
Yeah.
If you guys
want
connections, I got them.
Weird stuff. Things that are unusual. Things that you don't think of. The big companies are not going to take those. So take them. Let's get in there. Yeah. People are staring at them, like, on the bus or, like you said, in the little pedicabs. Like, absolutely.
You have to think outside the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Provide pedicab companies with some shirts and pay them for one day a week.
That's awesome.
You know, put a cue. Believe it or not, a QR code will work on the back of a shirt the same way it will on a poster or a handbill.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned QR codes because there are a lot of people who swear that QR codes do not work.
I don't know who he's talking about.
I don't know. I work a lot of.
I don't like them, but they really do work.
I work a lot of corporate events, and I rarely see things without a QR code on them.
Yeah.
See, I like the way you pointed at my QR code.
Yeah, I like it. Nice and big, easy to scan. It's great.
It's super easy. Most people, like Firefox, used to. I don't know what happened to it, but they used to have a little QR code scanner up in their search bar. A lot of mobile search engines have that now where it's just a little square. And if you push it, it'll scan a QR code and take you right there.
One thing other than the QR codes is the Bitly.
Yes.
Leak shorteners.
Yeah. Just create your free account, and you know you can't get everything because you know there's a lot of people using certain links.
Sure.
And so you have to be selective, and you have to really nail it down. But I mean, Bitly sites and links, they work great too.
Well, and one thing to be careful of, I would say, especially whenever you're talking sponsorships, networks, websites, all that kind of stuff. Like we said earlier. Curate not only your content, but your sponsors as well.
Yes.
It's one thing, like the Smart Business Podcast does a great show where they're like 5-minute episodes, and he basically answers a question from somebody that called him, like, hey, you know, I started this business, and I've got a niche market. I sell razors for gentlemen. What can I do to better my business? And he'll do 5 minutes on that, boom. And you go to his website, and you can actively see, like, a counter of what his income is for the month. Smart Passive Income is the name of the podcast. And it's phenomenal whenever you go and start looking at that and seeing that, like, there are affiliates that you can get to, but you have to pay a membership in order to access all those affiliates. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's an affiliate page that, like you were saying, you don't want to bombard people with a bunch of ads on your public stuff. But if you're going to pay $1 a month, hey, chip in $1 if you like what we're doing. At that point, the affiliates link page is open to you. And you can go get discounts on Nike. You can go get discounts on that. You can go get discounts on this. You know, and you can use the things like conjunction junction, I think it is, something like that. VIG link, that kind of stuff, where it's just mass affiliate links like what you see on typical ads on websites, where it's like, oh yeah, here's what you've been browsing for. You know, you can still utilize that without junking up your website and still use it as premium content where these people get access to all these things when they pay $1 a month. You know, even releasing, like you were saying, specialized content through Patreon, that kind of thing. People don't really see this fractal aspect to the industry and the fact that it's just another fold of what you're already doing. When it really comes to marketing, it's just another facet on the exact same gym. You're still creating content. You just now have to make your content attractive to your sponsor.
So we got about 10 minutes left. I'd love to open it up if anybody has any questions, so that people who maybe are working on network stuff or are interested in how to organize podcasts or anything like that can ask us any questions. And if you don't, then we can keep talking about whatever we're talking about. But just wanted to give you the opportunity to ask questions if you had them.
Please ask us a question.
You can have
There's five of us and six of you. Please, God, somebody.
Oh, seven.
Sorry.
Did I hallucinate a hand? Probably. No questions? It's no. Fine.
That's all right.
I just wanted to give people the option.
Sir, the questions.
Oh, yeah.
Can we get him a mic? We can.
Cable Access television show where you can see Cable Access. And that's kind of what the podcast thing is now for this situation. Mm-hmm. I knew how difficult it was to get sponsors. I lived in Delaware and stuff like that. And it was back and forth with money and then getting on air to where people would actually watch the channel and get the money for Channel 39, which was a subsidiary back then. You had ABC, which were all the good HF channels, and you had DHF. Anyway, my question. Long story short, whenever you're on these host sites that do the podcast, like someone could get on there and they host your podcast, is there issues with, say, getting a substantial sponsor? You got, like, say, the Harry's Shave guy wants to advertise on your thing. If you're on one of those hosted, is there rules involved in that where they say you can't have an actual sponsor if we're hosting your show, you have to get your own URL?
So are you talking specifically about, like, the podcast hosting services like Libsyn and Podbean? And No, because you pay your membership. They are only involved in hosting your RSS feed.
Yeah,
and that is all they do.
They're just a service. Give me your money then.
I love Heinz 57. Yeah. It's one of my favorites. It's been in my family for generations.
Now,
the distribution sites are just there to put out the content. They're not involved in any of the sponsorships. They can provide you sponsorships. There are certain platforms like Spreaker and the like who will connect you with it. Like, you can sign up to have ads that they add, and then it's people they found, sponsors, that add. But it's mostly like before your content starts, it'll be like, you know, here's a Spreaker commercial for this bed. And then your thing starts.
I'm going to be honest with you, though. Doing your own stuff is going to make you so much more money than going through somebody else and having them just add it in automatically.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, because I mean, ads and stuff.
You
got to first route people to you first.
Yeah. Well, yes and no. Like Ming was saying, it's super easy to find somebody that this guy's starting up a woodworking podcast. You're a local lumber company. Like that's a natural sale. It in theory shouldn't be that hard as long as the network has some reach. You know, at least you've got the typical share numbers between whenever I share an episode, he shares an episode, he shares an episode, it gets out to this many people. Whether or not they have followers, you have followers for the network, and you metrically have more followers the more shows you have.
The big thing to do is make a media kit.
Yeah.
Media kits are very important.
And explain to them what a media kit is just real quick.
That's going to give whatever sponsor it is the breakdown of your shows. It's going to break down your mission statements. It's going to break down your download numbers, your growth. Seasonality, if your numbers go up or down because it's summer or winter or whatever. It's very important to have. It doesn't necessarily need to be more than one page, but the more information that you have on it that can sell them, the better.
Yeah, like you don't want to put down like, well, we're selling space for this amount yet. You have a rate sheet for that.
Yeah, you have a rate
sheet. That's something else that completely separate, and you can customize that to each advertiser.
For ours specifically, we give a 30-day, a 60-day, and a 90-day numbers.
Yeah.
That way they can see our growth from month to month, and we update it each month.
Yeah, most of these provide metrics in the background. Whenever you'll get very minimal metrics on most of them. I think Anchor may be one of them that provides the most detailed metrics for the free accounts. I know Spreaker has actually started providing stuff like evolution stats, where you can see every episode released in a month and see its actual metric growth by the day. I've had episodes with guests where it's like, I love having you on because every time I have you on, it's just a 45-degree curve. It's just a straight line up, like, this guest is great. And not just that, but those metrics help you. They help you hone your show. They help you hone your topics. They help you hone your guests if you have guests. All that kind of stuff. It's the same thing with Facebook groups, Twitter, everything else. All of that, you have to think about it in a very big data sort of mind, and in the way that Google and Facebook and Amazon do, where it's like, we want to scrape as much information from our audience as possible.
It helps you find where your audience
sounds
is.
Sounds horrifying.
Yeah.
If you're planning on going to have live shows, then you definitely need to know where your audience is, because if they're not where you're going, nobody's going to show up.
Yeah.
So it's very important to have all that.
Also,
goes into so much.
To your point, if, say, your entire audience is, like, in Finland, of course you would get sponsors in Finland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the whole thing's connected. When you see your metrics and you're like, turns out plumbers in Finland love us, who knows why, then absolutely you're going to focus in that way. That's how the metrics can help you hone who your sponsors are and how it works.
The one thing that is the problem with the way the analytics are now is that you can't break them down specifically to like age demographics or gender demographics.
Yeah.
So hopefully at some point in time that will change, but I know that it is kind of hard to track those specifically through like
Apple
Podcasts.
Yeah. You can frequently track male, female, all that kind of stuff. As far as audience goes.
Plus, I think about the things that you guys are doing where you're like interacting with the audience. You know where all those people are from. Yeah. You could literally go through the 500 people that clicked, they enjoyed your thing, and be like, where are they? And then you can find out. I mean, it's Facebook. They know where we are, guys. They know.
That's why social media is very important, because you can break down your audience through there.
And for those of you who thought, how can I possibly do 3 hours to every 1 hour I spend behind a microphone? This is where the 3 hours comes in.
Yeah. And that's not even editing.
Combing through this information. Like we said in our panel earlier, Google it. If you want to know, Google it. Like, it's out there. People like us have had the question. We've come up against the wall. We posted the answer. We made an episode about the answer, more than likely, somewhere.
Take what you receive in Google with a grain of salt, though. Like with Facebook groups, I see podcasting Facebook groups give terrible advice all the time.
Oh God, yeah.
I'm always like, do not do that. This guy just said, don't do that.
They're monsters.
Yeah, they're all like monsters.
Does anybody else have a question at all? Yeah. I want to be able to answer your questions before we run out of time.
Yeah.
No.
No?
Sweet listeners, we love you.
Were you going to raise your hand and then decide to scratch your neck instead? It happens.
You know, okay, since, so let's just make this weird, since it's near the end, I wanted to say maybe each group can share sort of stuff they've learned since they went from single podcast to network. Like, how is your life improved? Not life, but you know what I mean? Like, how is doing it been better? Like, is there anything else that you feel like we haven't talked about that you wanted to make sure when you knew that you were doing this panel, where you're like, man, I want to make sure I tell people this. Let's get that out to make sure that we're saying it.
Be ready to be sleep deprived.
Yeah. And that most, we were talking about the 3-to-1 rule, you know, it's social media and promotion, you know, 3 hours to 1. Like, that's not including editing.
Yeah.
Editing's
edit
like
your
another,
podcast.
Yeah, editing's like for every hour you're editing, for every hour that you record, it takes like 2 hours to edit it.
I do want to say this, edit your podcast. If you are somebody who doesn't, then,
get out those mouth sounds, y'all.
Yeah, get them out. I mean,
nobody wants to hear.
You know, some people can sit down and talk on a mic for 3 hours and just it's just steady content. It's beautiful content, and they tweak the board just right where their mouth noises are gone. But not everybody can do that, especially not whenever you're starting out. And whenever you're creating content and hoping that other people fall into liking your content, you have to be as presentable as possible. Because if you're not, nobody's going to listen. I'll sit down and listen to an indie show. Within the first 5 minutes, if it's terrible editing and all that, I'm not going to listen to anymore. Because I've got other things that I have to do. There's better shows that I can listen to.
Yeah, quality is so important.
And don't forget to have fun.
Fun is important.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, we're able to create our own content now. We're able to have our own shows on any topic that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
And it should be fun. You know, don't take it super seriously.
Yeah.
Have fun. I just love we're living in a world where
if you can do this.
Yeah, if you want to have your own radio show, start a podcast. You want to have your own TV show, start a YouTube channel. If you want to broadcast live, pull out your phone and broadcast live. Like, there's no barriers to entry anymore. And you have the freedom to create whatever you want, but I do everything for fun. And remember to keep it that way.
Yeah,
yeah, Jared. Yeah.
You have any final thoughts?
Go ahead.
Okay. My final thought is just don't be overwhelmed. There's a lot that we're saying that there is to do. There's a lot that we're saying it requires. And I feel like if you're putting out content that you care about, that you like, and you know at least your friends like it, then you know, the work will be okay. Every time I do an interview with somebody, sometimes right before I do it, I'm like, oh God, I'm so tired. But as soon as I talk to them, I am like refreshed and happy and so fulfilled that I get to speak to this person and they get to tell me some cool thing about the work that they're doing. And sometimes even when you're held back, the work that the podcasting that you are putting out there, you know, it fulfills you like doing good art. Like if you're an artist and you're putting that out there, I know it there's a lot of hard work, but I don't know, it makes my heart warm and it makes me feel like I'm doing something in a good way and I'm trying to help the world. And I feel like that trumps anything that, you know, any tough stuff that's going on. It's like, ugh, I don't want to do it. But it's okay, because it's worth it.
Yeah.
Chris, final thought.
Well, for me, it's very much like Ming said. Have fun. Enjoy what you're doing. That will shine through. It will always shine through. That's called staying true to yourself. When you're true to yourself, you're true to your audience. Never betray your audience. Like, that's the biggest rule in broadcast. Don't let your audience down. The day that you're not you, your audience will know.
And they'll leave.
The best thing that your audience can tell you is whenever I'm listening to you, I want to jump in the conversation.
Yeah.
That's when you know that you're really engaging them in what you're talking about.
Or when they say they talk to their radio. I do that sometimes. Yeah, like, right?
Somebody's trying to think of something, and you're like, "Oh no, it's Captain America!" And you know that was in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, you're correcting them and stuff.
Yeah.
No.
I think that is our time. It is. Here on this panel. Thanks everybody for being here.
So I'm gonna go ahead and give us 30 more minutes, guys.
Do we have 30 more minutes?
No.
Okay, so, wait, before we finish, since we are recording this and we'll put it out, let's all say our names and our podcast so that you guys can listen
websites.
To it. And also, yes, dear, keep talking. Okay, I am Amy Jordan, and I do the Yes But Why podcast. I interview comedians, and it is yesbutwhypodcast.com.
I am Chris Jordan. I am the host of the Dudes and Beer podcast, as well as the Talking Sound podcast, and that is dudesandbeerpodcast.com or dudesandbeer.com, as well as talkingsound.com. And you can find both of us and all the other great content on hcuniversalnetwork.com and on our free app.
My name is Ming Chen. I run A Shared Universe podcast studio, which you can find at ashareduniverse.com, A Shared Universe all across social media. Also listen to the Ming and Mike show and I Sell Comics.
I am Jared McClellan. I run Forge Audio with this guy here. It's forgeaudio.net. We have 9 shows on our network right now. We're actually going to be adding a few more here pretty shortly, I believe. We do High Hungry, I'm Dad, The Spoop Squad, and The Mundane and the Arcane, which is a D&D 5e actual play podcast.
Nice.
And I'm Nathan Key with Forge Audio, and I do all the same shows as Jared, which... isn't going to always be the case, but it is for now.
We do have cards for all of our shows, except for a couple. So if anybody's interested, please feel free. Come and get a business card from us.
I'm going to hand you my card, so I'm not going to wait for you to
die. I don't want to
force myself on people.
That was fun. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Mike.
Thanks for stopping by.